This is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks, presented by your neighborhood Ford store on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio.
You are in the locker room. It is a gorgeous day, and our man Max looks like he had a little bit of a calamity coming down the hill as you negotiated your way or sashayed your way down that hill, my friend. It looks like you drew blood.
Yeah, drew a little bit of blood there. It's all good, though.
Yeah, was it hey. That bush at the bottom of the hill?
Gotcha. Yeah, the one that has like the three branches sticking out.
Yes.
There's no leaves on it. It's like, why don't you manicure that? Just cut it off.
Just please cut that off.
It's not going to grow.
Oh, my heavens. What a day, Max. Look at the day.
Yeah, another beautiful day here. And a great way to end, to come to the end, a culmination
yes.
of camp, to have an outdoor practice with pads.
Yes.
And sunshine.
Pads no less.
And I don't see any clouds. I don't see a cloud in the foreseeable area. So, I mean, this is pretty cool.
This reminds you when you left Arizona, right? Probably no clouds, huh?
Yeah, no clouds. Boom. Definitely not as hot.
Now, by the way, you know what I had this morning?
Ooh, what'd you have?
I had a Crustable.
Oh,
I kept one of those. Now, for the folks that don't know, the Crustables are those nice, you know, PB&J sandwiches where there's no crust to them, right? One layer on top.
It's uncrustable. But
uncrustable.
Yes,
is that what it's makes called?
It, yes, yeah. Smucker's Uncrustables.
Man, is that good?
It is delicious. It's convenient.
Yes.
And glorious.
It is. No question about it. You don't have to wrestle with the dadgum crust. You know, you got the PB&J already in there, which to me is great because, the problem with getting jelly? You get down to the bottom and you try to scoop it out, and then after you get it all scooped out, it falls off your spoon or your knife.
Oh yeah,
you know, and then you're chasing that little blob around on the table or on the floor.
Yeah, just to get it on the bread, and then you're trying to on the bread you're still trying to kind of chop, but don't cut through because you'll cut the bread.
Yeah.
To get it to break it up initially. So yeah, no, this takes out all the guesswork.
It really does, and it's calculated because because it's sealed like a pie, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
So, you know, it's like you're driving down the road and all of a sudden, I don't know, a dog comes running across the road and you got to veer off. Well, you could drop it and it's not going to go anywhere.
No.
I mean, everything is stuck in there pretty good.
Sealed for your convenience.
Yes.
I think that's the best way of looking at it.
I think those is, what's it called? Uncrustables?
Uncrustables, okay. Yeah. Because they take the crust off. So it's uncrustable.
Hence, then it would be okay.
Yeah.
All right. I got that.
Yeah, and it's sealed.
I got that backwards.
It's like a little PB&J pocket.
Exactly. Oh, it was so good.
Yeah. No.
I just like because, you got to take your fish oils and stuff like that in the morning.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You want
to erase that taste. I mean, listen.
Fish oils are bad.
I was looking at it this morning because I have one as well.
I
was looking. I was like.
Did you?
Oh, Will Tango. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Your snack material.
You, come here, you.
Yeah, exactly.
I love you.
Yeah.
Mr. Uncrustable. And it's whole wheat, right? Yeah, we saw
it. It's whole wheat, so it's healthier.
It's got
whole grains, right? I mean.
It's got to be good for
exactly.
you.
Exactly. It's not unbleached flour. You know, it's normal flour, I guess.
Now, my only grief with it would be I'd love that if you had crunchy. You know, crunchy peanut butter.
Oh, crunchy peanut butter, yeah.
I'm a crunchy guy. I like that crunchiness. You know, you got a little something to, like set your jaws to.
Yeah, well, it gives you that the chew and, of course, the breaking down of the peanuts. So, yeah. No, I get you. That would actually, that's next level.
Next level.
Because, I mean, the fact that we got a jelly one.
Yeah. Oh.
They do have the jam one. My kids like the jam one.
Wait a minute. They got jelly and jam.
Yeah, so they have one that has the kind of raspberry jam.
No kid.
Yeah, yeah.
What makes jelly different than jam? That's what I wonder.
I'm sure.
That's a deep question.
The chemistry.
The chemistry?
There's something with a chemical name that turns one to jelly.
And one to jam.
And the other one's more of a natural process, right? Like when you mash up
right.
and make preserves, That and then you just jar it, right? That's a different, like, jelly. There needs to be some type of chemical reaction.
There must be, because it's got to firm up.
It's got to firm it up.
That's when you get it blobbed out and you chase it across the, you know, the paper or something like
and
that.
And it wiggles when you shake it.
Yeah,
exactly.
So does my middle.
Hey, must be jelly because jam don't shake like that.
Oh yeah, there you go.
There it is.
We got it settled. Yeah. Oh, that was so good. That was so good. Well, welcome, everybody, to training camp. It's the last day of training camp. It's the, well, as we used to call it back in the day, it is the Latrobe 500. Now is when you need Matt McConaughey to come out there and say, gentlemen, start your engines. Yes, because this is the last day. And, of course, everybody moves on to Pittsburgh, where the Steelers are heading out to Jacksonville this weekend. And I'm looking forward to it,
this
Max.
Weekend. Tomorrow we're flying to Jacksonville.
Yeah, that's right.
We're here tomorrow. Yeah, don't show up on the weekend. Just play Wolf.
Max, where are you? Where's the plane?
Exactly. It's already down here. Walk across the runway to the main airport and get you a flight.
Either that or you're fired.
Yeah.
Oh, my heavens. Yes, that's right. Let's not get misconstrued here.
Yeah. No, we leave tomorrow for Jacksonville.
Tomorrow, yes. Great googly moogly. Oh, it's so nice to be back on the charter, isn't it?
Well, I wouldn't know because I've not done it from the broadcast perspective.
Yes, okay, but you know but what it player, is. As a player, you've been on plenty of charters.
It was 7 years ago was the last time I went on a charter.
Wow.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how it's going to go because it's not where I sat as a player.
Well, no, you'll be sitting where Tunch and I always had the last row, you know, what they called convict row.
Oh, yeah,
you
know, where they, right by the toileta.
Yeah, el toileto. I mean, if we were any further back, we would be on the tail wing, you know.
Yeah, or you'd be serving drinks.
One of the two. You know? All right, how many you want?
Yeah. Hey,
no peanuts for you.
No peanuts, okay? I've got an allergy, all right? It's pretzels only on this flight.
Oh, yeah, well.
Bloody Mary, no mix, gotcha.
Okay, before we get any deeper into that one.
No, just go. What's the topic?
There are things, you know, you think about that, and you think about certain people, and I say no more.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Okay, Max. What's some of your takeaways of training camp? Because one of the things I want to do is, what do we know now that we didn't know on the first day of camp? And I'd give you, you know, here's an easy softball. I'm going to toss this one to you. We didn't know on that first day of camp that George Pickens would be on fire. We didn't know exactly what we were getting with this guy, but we got a good idea what this guy is capable of now.
No, exactly. And I think that's one that you look at and you're like, hit.
Yes.
Hit.
and
you look, I mean, and just the confidence that's grown from it. Now, I know, yes, can he get on borderline of cockiness? Absolutely. But it's
he is a bit
group.
Confident, is he not?
Yeah, he is not lacking in that department. So I look at George Pickens and I say, man, that's one that we needed somebody like this to be inserted into the wide receiver room. With the loss of Juju, the loss of Ray McCloud, right? We knew we were going to need a couple of guys.
Right. Correctamundo.
George Pickens, I guess, saw the lost puppy memo that was on the telephone pole, pulled the tab, called, and he's answered the call. I mean, he has been one of those bright spots in camp. When you think about what made camp exciting was – coming out and possibly seeing George Pickens do something incredible.
Absolutely.
On a daily basis. And I think that's one that I look at and you say, absolutely. That is one of the camp bright spots. I'll give you another one.
Well, then before we finish, go on to that one. Let me finish this. Here's what I like that I see in this young man also. The guy creates a ripple effect in the room. Because if I'm Deontay Johnson, okay, I settle my contract. If I'm Chase Claypool, I get over my injuries. Because you know what? You're watching a young man perform in a manner that is memorable. All right, he's creating some serious memories here. And you know what I'm talking about. When you see a guy on the rise and he creates that ripple effect as you are – taking care of that cut on your leg. You're good, that, right?
No, it was just a little.
You're not going to pass out, are you?
There's a little cooling effect. I was just listen. Don't get distracted and try and just because your thought was good and I'm doing this. I'm not trying to distract you. I was just trying to.
I had a good thought. Now it's gone.
Ripple effect.
Ripple effect.
There we go.
So the point is, when you have a young man who's so capable in the room, who raises the barometer, who raises the temperature in the room, you see the big plays happening. In the offensive line meeting room, you know, Chukwuma Okorafor, he dumps a guy. The guy jumps in the air. He grabs the dude. He slams him. You see that, and if Pat Meyer was doing a good job, he'd be sitting there going, Chooks, that's a great job. You're running over. Because why? You want the other guys in the room to see this is what it looks like when you're playing top level, correct? You want to get in on that. And the same way, when you've got a guy like Pickens, and he makes that incredible catch, toe tapper, down the sidelines, you rerun that over and over, and you want to put urgency in everybody else.
Yeah, no, I think when you look at it, I mean, George Pickens definitely has been that one that's raised the tempo, that's gotten under the skin of the defense, right? Because of his play,
right,
and his style, and that's the emotion you need to bring out here. Like
exactly.
You don't have to think about it or falsely create it, right? He's giving you plenty of ammo.
Yes.
He's bringing the heat. He's like, hey, he's like, listen, hey, you got a dip in your day? Watch me for 10 seconds, all right, bud? Okay. And then for the defense, oh, you thought you were good? And 360 spin, toe tap, I'm out. Boom, touchdown.
It's like this. Here, hold my Gatorade and watch this.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
But that's what, you know, in my mind, that is just such a big plus in this guy being part of that wide receiver room. Because, you know, Deontay Johnson's coming off his best year, all right? I went over 1,000 yards last year, big contract and all. We've been waiting on Chase Claypool. Chase Claypool is that guy that I thought would be doing Pickens-like things right now. And he would already be an established. I really thought when I saw him as a rookie, this guy's going to be either a star or a superstar by 2-3 years down the road. And so we're waiting on him a little bit because I still think he's got all those capabilities. But when you see a young guy come in and start to do the things that you know you're capable of doing and you ain't doing them yet like that, you know, now you got to get after it.
Yeah, no, that's when you got to hit the turbo button.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Hey, go Speed Racer. Go Speed Racer.
Go.
Go Speed Racer. Go.
I thought it was after the second chorus. Go Speed Racer, go! No, okay.
I mean, I haven't watched Speed Racer in a very long time.
I know
you could
be
correct.
Like
it could
him,
be
though.
After the second one. I mean, Racer X was my guy.
He was always cool. Who was he?
It was his older brother.
Oh,
he never knew it.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
or maybe I did know it and I forgot. I don't know.
Yeah,
which.
It was one of those. It was like one of those.
That could have been on one of those Toss 32 traps that you know, you kind of lose your Racer.
Yeah,
X.
You kind of lost.
Who was that guy?
Was that 84?
Yeah. That was a while
84,
ago,
Raiders. I mean, it was out in Los Angeles. Yeah. I can't tell you
Toss
anything else.
Toss 32 trap. I ran into Tunch's butt.
Yeah, exactly. Lost in the second quarter. Haven't found it since.
What can I say? I gored my best friend on that play.
Yeah.
It's a true story.
No, yeah. No.
I did, man. It was,
listen,
it was bad.
In the heat of battle.
He didn't forgive me for a long time.
Well, I mean, Grace Eternal.
Yes, exactly. Grace Eternal. I got it now. Well, he was a little honked at me. That was like I was a 300-pound ballistic enema.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, look, I'm still mad at Rodney Bailey.
Well, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I can get that.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know.
Look at that. It looks like a question mark, your middle finger.
I know. I could be the Riddler. It's amazing. No.
Riddle me this. How'd I get this finger?
Yeah. How do I straighten this out?
Yeah.
No, there is an answer. I just don't know it.
Is that a 7 on your finger?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I love Ben. No. I think that's kind of the part of camp where you enjoy because you look back on these moments and you think about guys who've made that impact.
Yes.
Right? You think about years past. Like I remember, you know, Antonio Brown as a rookie out here.
Oh, yeah.
And just how hyper-focused he was. Had to hit the jugs, had to run an absurd amount, every single day. Every single day. And that leads to what we saw with the extreme abilities that he displayed. I think about my rookie year. We're down there. Dave Chappelle's show was a thing. And so I remember.
Was he here?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, it was on Comedy Central at
the time. Oh, okay. All right.
It was a brand new show.
Okay, we're talking about a time period.
Yeah.
All right.
And we would sit down there and we would tell the entire show to each other to help us get through it.
Right.
You know, and I just remember, you know, like it was all these moments, and they got to create those moments this year. They had to take it away from them in COVID, but you got to come back here to St. Vincent's.
Yes.
The reception was absolutely outstanding.
Oh, yeah.
The hospitality was tremendous.
It was.
That new lunchroom / dining hall facility was exceptional, exquisite.
I was with the Padovas, I believe is the name of the hall there.
Yeah.
And I met them yesterday. Father Paul was up there. That was the people
that
donated. Yeah. You know, Father Paul, first of all, greatest dude. You know, you talk about a guy who leads from the front, does a great job here. Look at this campus. Look what he's done. I mean, he is just really a terrific dude and a great leader here at St. Vincent. And then you meet people that are making a difference, who are donating this. Man, they were nice people. Very nice people, man.
Yeah, no.
So, I mean, and the lunchroom was terrific.
Oh, it was beautiful. And it still is, and we will still enjoy it.
Yes, we will.
Especially after this show.
You know it. Right there, baby.
Yeah.
Boom.
Get it. But I look at, you know, this team, and already it feels different from last year's team.
Yes. Yes.
There's a certain spirit emanating from them as a whole. And I think that's something that's tremendous. And you can see what the difference is down on the field, right?
Correct.
Guys are more engaged with each other.
Yes.
Guys spend more time together. You see different groups every day sitting at
Max,
the lunch
table. Max,
you're
onto something big here. You're talking about the intangibles of training camp.
Yes.
That Mike Tomlin referred to earlier, but you're pointing out some real distinctions, because you don't get that sort of massing of the minds and hanging out together at the stadium, because guys go their separate ways after the practices, after the meetings, and even then there's this weird feeling to not being here. This is what I know, some guys never got to experience it, but at the same time, you know, it's a lot different.
Well, it's that gotta go mentality, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that when you're at a certain place and you're not staying there or you're not residing there, that's like, I gotta go. And you create other things that you need to do around your camp time.
Right.
When you're going back to the house. Oh, I gotta stock the fridge. Oh, I gotta stop here and get some gas.
True.
Oh, I gotta get this. Right. You're like, oh, so I can't stay and engage because I got things I gotta check off the list.
Right.
When you're here, it's all encompassing.
It is.
You gotta go somewhere, boom, catch a cart.
Yes.
Right? It'll take you to the training center.
Yes.
It'll take you to the lunchroom and back to your dorm. Like, those are the only three places you need to worry about. Those are the three places where your stuff needs to be done, and it's all within this tight environment. And so when you do have free time, it's, okay, well, what can I do? Man, let me see what Dan Moore's up to. Let me see what Chooks is up to.
Right.
Right? Let me see what James Daniel's up to. Oh, you know what, Coach Meyer, I'm going to pop in the room. I want to watch a little bit more film. That's what that creates.
You're right.
And it's been tremendous to watch it.
And not only that, they have Uncrustables here.
Well, that's like a last week of camp nuance. It wasn't there at the beginning.
I know. Well, I didn't know. I didn't know anything about the Uncrustables.
Yeah, now you do. But, hey, we have to pace you two a day.
Yeah.
Two a day.
Yeah. I got to back off on that.
Yeah, we got to cut
off. If I show up at home with one of those, my wife's going to smack me with it.
It's 600 calories for one sandwich.
So. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
All right, we got to take a break. It's Wolf Starts and the Ninjas in the locker room. ESPN Pittsburgh, Steelers Nation Radio. We'll be back after this.
You're listening to the official voice of Black and Gold Nation.
Beloved Black and Gold.
SNR. This is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks, presented by your neighborhood Ford store on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio.
Medic, we've got a man down. Hey. And that would be, of course, Max Starks coming down from up by, what is it, Benedict Hall?
Yeah, by Benedict.
As you're navigating your way down the hill, you went through the bushes where the groundhogs are hanging out. You got to watch some groundhogs, man. They're like, they're vicious, man. They get, you know, they got those that teeth, those big front teeth.
Yeah, exactly. Beaver-esque.
Yes, beaver-esque, exactly. Yeah. With the, you know, the cat whiskers coming out, you know, and they're mean, man.
Yeah, now they're mean, and you know, it's this one corner right at the end.
Right.
I don't know who sharpened them. Because I feel like they've gotten sharper and sharper.
Right. The hedge trimmer
trimmed
them up pretty nicely if you want spears down there.
Yeah, exactly. It's almost like he was fortifying, you know, some type of battlement. You know, hey, don't come through here. You're going to get hurt. You know, and there's like a mud slide right at the spot before.
Yeah.
So you got to like gather yourself.
I almost was skiing to the bottom of the hill on that one.
Yeah.
Woo, that could have been bad. But the old man almost went down on that one.
But luckily, hey, listen, my first aid days back in sports medicine magnet got myself
you're all
cleaned
set,
up real
man.
Quick. So hey, we're boy, good.
The smell of alcohol there.
Yeah.
You know,
pungent. That's 90%.
That's
90% isopropyl there.
Isopropyl, very pungent.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we talked in the first segment about George Pickens being on fire. What we're doing is we're discussing some of the things that we know now that we didn't know when we started training camp roughly 3 weeks ago. And before you got into something, you had an idea, and I interrupted you. So I apologize, and I hope I didn't sidetrack you.
No.
So do you remember what you were talking about?
I still got it filed away. It's in the temporary download folder.
You know, where do you get in your 60s, that temporary download folder?
What? It's pen and paper.
Yeah.
You got to write it down.
You saw it.
Yeah, I saw it. I was like, I know that one.
I know that one.
Good job, Wolf.
Beautiful.
Staying on track. He's like, hey, before I lose this one, let's go ahead and get that down.
Let's just put that down, shall we?
But, I was going to keep with the theme of position groups. I'm going to say, did not know Gunnar Olszewski was such a good receiver at the beginning of camp, because we knew what he could do from a punt return standpoint, a return special teams
all
contribution.
Pro.
And to see him out here on the field making the catches that he did day after day after day, when we talk about the annoyance factor for opposing positions.
Yes.
He pissed off a couple of DBs.
Love it.
Oh, he pissed off Minkah Fitzpatrick something terrible. Oh.
Minkah really gave him the side eye there for a while.
Yeah, Minkah was letting it fester before he came out. And he was just, okay, just taking mental receipts right now. It's like, yeah, okay, keep cashing that check. Keep cashing that check. We're going to see what happens when I get out here. And then Minkah was jumping in drills he wasn't supposed to jump in.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's like you're trying to acclimate him back. No, I'm in team.
I'm ready to go.
It's like, Minkah, no. And then when Minkah and Gunnar met, I mean, they had some give and take. It wasn't a one-sided affair. And so you think of that and you say, man, what can this be? If we got this rookie.
Right, correct.
That's doing what he's doing. This newcomer to us. Because he's not a newcomer, but he's a newcomer to us. If he could come out here and he could feel the confidence and he can raise his play, I think that also pushes up and elevates that room. We're talking about Deontay
That's
Johnson.
True.
And
the
Chase
ripple
Clayton.
Effect.
That ripple grows, because it's not like, he was drafted second. We expect that. I'm not worried about that because he doesn't do what I do. It's like, whoa, there's another one. He kisses everything.
Yep.
Goes across the middle. Has a little shake and bake.
Fearless, according to Danny Smith
as a
returner.
Danny Smith, 20 packs. I've seen it. I feel like it's 20 packs of gum in there time.
You're not kidding.
Yeah, I mean,
his jaws should be like iron.
Yeah,
you know,
no question.
He's always chewing big wads of bubble gum.
I just picture his jaw looking like, you know, the Terminator.
Yeah.
After everything's gone, it's just metal jaw. I feel like that's what's under Danny Smith's skin.
Start calling Danny Jaws.
Danny Jaws. DJ.
I like that.
But Gunnar Olszewski has just absolutely surprised, impressed, and, you know, given me another sense of, all right, this group's now deeper. It's not just a superficial layer where we just have a one and a two and guys figuring it out. I mean, you have to make room for George Pickens. He comes out on the initial depth chart. It was so good we put 12 guys for the starters. That's how good he was. We added a 12th slot, said George Pickens. Just in case, because we didn't want him behind anybody. I mean, that's literally what it was.
Right.
So I think that's one of the other ones where I look at and you say, you know, guys who will not be denied, guys who want to work and they've done it. And they still come here and still put in the time, right? Like, Gunnar has an All-Pro in his resume.
Yes,
he's a Pro Bowler.
17.3, I believe he was averaging in his
return. So he comes in with a briefcase of, hey, look at these goods I have to offer, all right? And he still came out here. He still head to stone, right, and just grinded it out. And I think that's something that speaks a lot. And so that was my other one.
I look at Gunnar and I think about it, you know, Max, when you watch him track a punt, I mean, he gives you that solid rock security. You're not afraid of sticking him in on the 10-yard line, you know, his heels playing the 10-yard line, and you're good with whatever decision he makes because he makes good decisions. He has that ability to track that ball in a secure way that makes you feel very comfortable watching him operate underneath. You know, as the ball's hanging up there, he'll take a snapshot of the coverage, look the ball, snapshot of the coverage, look to the ball, all that back and forth, and it's very, very much a stable situation. That's what, you know, you thought, okay, that's what we brought him in for. All right,
yes.
That All-Pro punt return. But, man, watching him, when he catches the ball after he tucks it away, he accelerates north and south. I was really kind of flummoxed and floored looking at the way he was able to catch and tuck and get north and south really quick.
Yeah, no, it gives you vibes of like a Wes Welker, Julian Edelman,
very good
type of
right,
slot guy.
Right, I'm tracking with you. Yep,
right, a Hunter Renfro type is what Hunter's trying. You know, is establishing himself as in Las Vegas. It's one of those things where you're thinking about how do we replace Ray McCloud.
Well, one of the ways is a guy that scores touchdowns because Ray never scored a touchdown.
That's right. And I think that's what we're kind of that's what I think was the initial vision. But you found out it came with hands.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, it did.
It's like, hey, I bought this package right here. And
right.
It said exceptional punt abilities. But guess what? I got hands, too. It's awesome.
Two for one. Accelerate.
Yeah. And it has an accelerator. So I think so that's been the pleasant surprise at camp has been seeing that. I did not expect that. Did not expect that coming into camp.
No, I didn't.
I mean, I was expecting to get his name wrong. I was expecting him to make great punt decisions.
What's his first name?
Gunnar.
No.
Gunnar.
His real first name.
Name.
Boy, I read it this morning. I can't remember.
Yeah.
It was a bit different. Anyhow.
That's okay. That's okay.
That's
a cooler name anyways.
Yeah, Gunner's
nicknames
much cool.
Are good. Yeah. I mean, it's just like what was I saw this kid. His name was, Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Say what?
Yeah, his name is Kool-Aid.
Kool-Aid.
I mean, he has a real name, but literally on the roster and everything, it says Kool-Aid.
Well, isn't that Big Juicy? That's where you got Big Juicy's name?
Yeah, but they still put Chris Kimoyatu on
right.
the thing. Like, when we look at the roster here, it says Gunner.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
true.
You know what I'm saying? Like, okay. And on this kid's roster, it's a college kid. I think he's at Alabama. His name is Kool-Aid. I was like, all right, well, what's your real name? Kool-Aid. It's like, what? Okay. So Gunner, I mean, it's just like Gunner. But I know Gunner has another name as well, just like Heath.
Right.
Heath. Like, hey, Heath
what
Miller.
What would your nickname be if it was after, like, a food that you love right now? Because I think it'd be Uncrustable Wolfley right now.
It definitely would right now for you. You would definitely be Uncrustable.
I got this fixation on that.
You are. Or Smuckers, one of the two.
Smuckers Wolfley.
Smuckers McWolf.
Little Scottish bit to it.
Yeah, exactly. Now, you know what mine would probably be? I would probably be, let's see, thinking of camp and what has been something of mine. I don't know, crab legs? No, James Winston has those. No. Let's see.
Crab legs starts. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it, man.
King Crab Starks. There
King
we go.
King Crab, that's even
better.
There we
go. King Crab Starks.
I like that. That now that works.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. King Crab and Smuckers are Uncrustable. So we're in the locker room with Uncrustable and King Crab. And let's see, what would Jacob? Jacob, what's your food name? All right. Think about it.
He's got
what have you enjoyed at camp? A lot. Yeah, food name.
You know what? I'd call him.
I call him Banana because he always had that banana hair, and the bees were coming all last week.
No, it was omelet, though. You know?
I didn't see the omelet.
Yeah, he's been killing the omelet.
Oh, he's been killing the omelet. Okay,
yeah.
So ninja omelet.
Yeah. we got a ninja omelet.
Yeah.
What'd he say?
He said it's stupid. It's okay. It's about what you've consumed the most of. So
there you go.
It's all good. You're hey.
At least you're not a crustable.
Yeah, I was going to say, omelet, Uncrustable, and King Crab.
Crusty Craig.
Yeah, Crusty Craig. That's right. You do want to call it a crustable.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Hey, Crusty Crab, SpongeBob. There we go.
You know, one time I skied with the voice of Patrick. You know, Dauber?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That Will, what's his name, Williams? He's like a Shakespearean-trained actor. I skied with him at an event. Doug Betters had a ski thing out for, he was raising money for Lumberjack's children for hospitalization and everything else, you know, insurance. So he brought out a bunch of people, and they had a celebrity ski tournament, which, why I was out there, I don't know, but. That, you know, just they needed somebody.
Did you have a sled? Did you have Rosebud out there?
Oh, I skied, baby. Oh, I skied.
Oh, you skied. Okay,
oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But I met Dauber.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I ski bike. I can't ski.
Oh, okay. You get a bike?
Your
feet are big enough to be skis anyhow.
I mean, yes, but I mean, you know, obviously I need stoppers and everything else. So I rented a ski bike. So that's my skiing experience. Is I'm now a ski biker.
Did you run into anybody?
No, I did not. I actually had enough wherewithal. I knew how to fall.
Okay.
That's the key thing. So it's just like with the motorcycle, right? Like you learn how to fall into it depending on how you are. So yeah, but
I can't imagine you had a ski bike.
Well, you know what? I'll show you the video during the break. I'll show you the video during the break.
That's a huge mess going down the hill.
Exactly. And it looks funny, too. It's like, why is this guy sitting there? You know, it's a bike, but it's got skis, and yeah, no. So because we went to Heavenly for my kids' spring break this year,
right.
And this
past year,
yeah, back in March,
very good.
So you know, I took my daughters wanted to learn how to ski, and my wife wanted to obviously get back into it. And I was like, I don't want to be the downer of the group because I can't get skis, I can't get a snowboard.
Why can't you get skis?
Because my feet are too big, and why? So I have to get custom everything.
Oh yeah,
and I haven't done it since I've been 11.
You don't ski enough to
justify, yeah. Because I mean that's like $4,000.
Yeah, okay.
If I wanted to get something custom made, and that's a lot for something that's a seasonal activity
right,
that could possibly hurt me.
That you might
hurt
do one or two times.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
well, I grew up skiing. You know, I mean, back
say,
in the day,
upstate
but
New
then
York, right?
after a couple of years in the pros, you know, it's like you stop.
It's like, do I really want that additional contact and impact?
Yeah, that's, you know, and if something goes, you know, kaflooey, you know,
like
you're kind of
like a tree showing
tree
up
jumps
in nowhere.
In your...
Yeah.
I've had that experience. It's not fun.
So you know what I heard, and this is funny, and I think this applies kind of to football as well. You know, they talk about how alpine skiers, like the way that they learn how to ski, you know, and make those cutbacks and go through the trees and everything is you don't think about the trees, right?
Right.
Because if you think about don't hit the tree, don't hit the tree, don't
You'll
hit the tree. You're going to hit the tree because our brain is taught look at everything and we can't justify negative things. So
right.
When you say don't do it, you tend to do it, right? I say don't think about an elephant.
I know.
Boom, it pops in your head, right?
Don't think about giving up a sack. What happens?
You give up the sack.
Oh, it's terrible.
So saying that, you know, alpine skiers think about follow the path.
Follow the path.
And all you can think about is following the path. So you don't see the trees. And so I think for the guys out here, the ones that excel, think about run the route, not thinking about who's that DB across from me, right? Or thinking about block the protection, follow my rules.
Right.
You don't think about who the defensive lineman is that's coming up against you, unless it's Aaron Donald. But
that's true.
That's the exception to it. There's always outliers.
There's always outliers.
So let me just preface that. But I think that's kind of how you view camp when you come out here. You can't dwell on the things you do negative. You've got to dwell on how am I getting better every single time.
You know, I believe you're onto something. Follow the path. Follow the path right up until, bam, you run into that oak tree that you just didn't see.
Well, that's because he jumped on the path. That's the only reason why, Wolf.
All right.
I'm going to give you that. Unless you were just admiring the foliage.
All
right. Look at the foliage. Hit the foliage.
We got to go to break. We got King Crab Max.
Yeah.
We got Smucker's Wolfling. And we got Uncrustable Jacob. That's why. I'll give him that because he grew up on it.
Okay. He grew up on Uncrustables. Yes.
We'll be back
with Uncrustable
more.
Omelet.
We'll be back with more.
We'll be back in a minute.
This is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks, presented by your neighborhood Ford store on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio.
As the Steelers go through their walkthrough and they're abiding by the NFLPA rules, I see guys walking.
Yes.
We don't have any jogging. I mean, you have to flag them on that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
Or yogging, well, right? Yogging. As Ron Burgundy would say. This new sport. It's called yogging. Silent J.
So we've been trying to come to grips with what we know now that we didn't know the first day when we were, here at camp and so forth.
Can you let people know what we've already discussed?
Yeah.
Before we get into the
okay,
next one.
Okay, so I came off with my first one was George Pickens would be on fire. We knew that this guy could be, you know, a good wide receiver, a special wide receiver maybe.
Yeah.
But we didn't know he'd be on fire like this. I mean,
yeah,
the guy
yeah.
has just been ridiculous, and he's caused a ripple effect in his room that I think raises the whole level and temperature of that room.
Yeah, Wunderkid. yes. I think that's appropriate. And then I came back with Gunnar Olszewski.
Yes.
I did not know he had hands as a receiver.
Right.
We knew he was a punt returner, but he's shown himself to be a really, really good receiver. And we saw it Saturday night, with the last two plays of that first drive for Mitch Trubisky, right?
Yes.
You know, he had the nice over route to put him in the red zone. And then he also finished up with a wide open touchdown on a shallow drag.
Man.
So that was something that was a bright spot. So what's the next one, Wolf?
The next one. Okay. Let's go with this. DeMonte Casey could figure in a lot of sub-package football because his ability to operate from that free safety position creates a possibility of using three safeties or quarters, as people say, whether it's the nickel or dime, which might be or play into a lot of with the frustration of the inside linebacker position lacking some problems that could make
coverage.
The coverage problem. We're not covering, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But DeMonte Casey could be a reason that the three quarters is something that, or the quarters package, I'm sorry, the three safeties could be something that might be able to be used quite extensively by the Steelers.
All right. I'm going to summarize that.
Yeah. Why say it in 30 words when you can say it in 300?
Exactly.
That was one of those.
I appreciate
I went for
that.
The 300.
I appreciate that. You know, it's very descriptive.
Right.
Very thorough.
Very redundant.
But I'm going to say half Casey will play.
That's right.
Because yeah. I think when we look at what DeMonte Casey was, we're like, this guy's a good guy. You know, he has a nose for this dude hits.
He does.
Shells.
He's not real big.
No, he's not big.
Yeah.
But, I mean, once again, I mean, you know, missiles aren't that big when you think about the area that they impact, right?
Well, that's true.
Comparative speed.
Okay.
It's a compact thing. Or a grenade, right? A grenade is a small thing that has a big impact. I feel like DeMonte Casey is that dude. He's waiting for an impact moment to happen. And we saw it, Calvin Austin, first week, right? We're still in the acclimation period.
Right.
You know, he's running. It's like, nope, it's contact time. He has shells.
Yes.
He has a guardian cap. Must be good to hit.
Boom.
And so I think when you think about it from that perspective, he's just shown up in camp. He's shown up consistently. And I thought, you know, when you're thinking about the safety position, right, you got two guys that you're already kind of set on with Terrell Edmunds and Minkah Fitzpatrick. They have a great sense for each other and a great relationship. But there was something else. You got to fill out the depth. And so early on, it was like, oh, man, DeMonte Casey. Oh, man, Carl Joseph. Obviously, we know we lose Carl Joseph in that. Right. And then you still got
Trey Norman. Having a very good camp, by the way.
Excellent camp. He's having an excellent camp. But when it came to game time, he just showed up. He played instead because, obviously, you're taking some of your veteran guys and not playing them.
Correct.
And I think that'll change a little bit, of course, coming up to the game this Saturday.
Right.
But he filled in admirably, and he stood out. He made some great plays. He dislodged footballs. Same things he did on the practice field that we were starting to wonder, okay, how's this look in a game? Now we don't have that wonderment anymore, right? You're like, how does this game carry? Does it travel from Latrobe to a stadium?
It does.
And it does. It packs well. It's a carry-on.
Yes.
Don't need to check it.
Right. But this also puts, and what I love, the opportunity for Terrell to take advantage of one of his great strengths.
Yeah.
Because if you have issues down in distance and personnel situations, you know, whether it's heavy towards the pass or run, depending on it's 3rd and 5, 3rd and 4, 3rd and 7, whatever, right? You've got opportunities to have these hybrid guys.
Yeah.
And Terrell is, he could well be the Ferrari of hybrids.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this guy is packed. He's strong. He can run with wide receivers, and he can come up and put his nose in a gap and get that fit. I mean, so the opportunity for something aside from the normal nickel with two linebackers and the dime stuff with one might be different, might look different.
It can be a nickel look with dime capabilities.
Ooh.
Right?
So, man, you're making sense here.
Yeah, and I think that flexibility, that just continues to evolve this defense. And I think that's what you look at. For Terrell Austin, you're trying to make an impact in year one, right? You're trying to say, well, what makes me different from Keith Butler, right? What makes me stand out as an asset to this team? And I think having that ability to have three top-flight starter-capable safeties on the field that now – think like safeties, play like linebacker capability. That gives Minkah so much more range.
Oh, it does.
It gives him an ability.
Well, this
to
this
do that.
Is what Terrell was talking about. Terrell.
Yeah.
I get my Terrells and Terrells mixed up.
I know. It confuses me all the time. That's why we get the phonetic spelling on
that's
the depth
chart
sheets.
That's right. Exactly. But you know, Terrell Austin is a guy that. You know, has got a lot of experience as a defensive coordinator. Obviously, he's looking for solutions to problems. And right now, we can go on and on about Devin Bush. I don't know what to make out of him.
Yeah.
Because I can't believe that all that just went away. What we saw his rookie year was phenomenal. I mean, he looked like a guy on that trajectory, a top 10 guy. And once it's there, it's there. Now, what's holding up? I don't know. But you got to have a solution. I'm sorry, I didn't finish the thought, which is typical of me.
No,
you
know, please do.
Well, when you smacked me, it kind of jarred my head, and then I lost it. See,
I am heavy-handed.
You are.
Big mitts.
Those are big mitts, man.
They are big mitts.
So anyhow, you know, the fact is when you've got to find an alternative or a solution to what's lacking. And, you know, there's things where you hear rumors like Roquan Smith is out there and could you get him from Chicago,
the
linebacker or what have you, you know, such as they did with Joe Schobert last year.
Well, you got Miles Jack this year.
We got Miles Jack this year, and that's you got the one solid guy. And I'm still a Spillane fan. I'm still a Devin Bush fan. I have not given up on him yet. But at the same time, what we're not seeing is – what it looked like back a couple of years ago, pre-knee injury.
Well, you got, for him, it's a mental block, and you got to figure out what that.
You think so?
I think it is. I think it's a mental block, and it's a trust issue and confidence. But we don't know when that's going to happen, when he's going to find that key, right?
Right.
It's like
does he?
Yeah, or does he find that key? I mean, it's like that janitor that has a key ring with a retractable belt with all those keys on it. You're trying to, man, which one does this door open?
How do you know which key does what? I mean, those guys had so many keys back in high school.
But but it takes time, right?
Right.
Experience. True. You know, you after doing it enough,
right.
it becomes
enough.
Something. And I think that's for Devin. He has to keep doing it. And that's why I said, you know, this Jacksonville game will be very telling. What can he do – to come back because he had no stats last week. He was just there, and he was trying to catch up, and he was jumping on the pile.
Yeah.
What can you do this week? What can you do this week to advance from jumping on the pile and being a second late or a step too late?
Good point.
To being on time and being Johnny on the spot.
Being the guy that makes the play.
That's what we have to get to, and that's what I think having DeMonte Casey kind of gives you a little bit of flexibility to let that happen. Whereas before, if you have to go with linebackers and you have to go with just two safeties, you can't do it and you're just praying for the best.
Right.
Like putting
right.
that guy out in the fire and praying that he won't get burned. So I think that's what it is, but it's good to have it. It's good to have it. And, of course, you know, we will continue this discussion about what surprised me at training camp. What did I not know that I now know? On the other side of this break, and we'll start hour two, you're in the locker room with Uncrustable, Smuckers, and King Crab. Back after this.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.